Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Thursday edition of The Drive. Boy, it's turned out to be a really nice day. And a great day for a tour. I was there with the media that got a tour of the new digs at Plainsman Park. Man, I'll talk about that in a little while. More impressive than I could have even imagined. Just an amazing addition. And I mean, it's not a renovation. It's an addition, and it blends in so well. I mean. But the day has turned out beautifully, sunny day. So, enjoy it drying out after, man, we had some serious rain overnight, didn't we?
There is, I didn't talk to you about this. There is a down tree in the parking lot of where I live. As a matter of fact,
there were some scary rain and winds last night
in a place that I occasionally park. As a matter of fact, I wasn't there at that moment, but I've parked there before, and there was a pretty big. Tree branch that was that had found its way. I'm guessing wind. It didn't look like a lightning strike.
No, I'm sure it was. There was a lot of wind last night. There was a tornado watch until 3 o'clock this morning.
Ferg and I were here recording the Observer podcast that went up this morning, and we stuck around. When we were ready to leave, it was the absolute worst of it. And so we were
here pretty late. Yeah, the absolute worst of it,
midnightish.
Was about 1 o'clock.
Yeah, I was going to say little after. I mean, and that's about when we were here. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I say it didn't really start until around 11, at least out in South Auburn. But yeah, it rained a lot and a lot of wind. I didn't see much damage out around the house, so I'm thankful for that. But yeah, it's turned out to be a very nice afternoon, and
look at that, huh?
How about that?
Just taking a look up at the TV that we've got here in the studio, and it's one half of Team Malvo talking because the Auburn softball team leads Clemson.
How about that? 6-1
in Clearwater. That game's on ESPN2 right now.
Yes, so softball off to an excellent start, and boy, they are swinging the bats. They really are hot. Here early on, so that's nice. I mentioned Sanford Stadium, Hitchcock Field at Plainsman Park. I believe I got all the names in there. But I mean, there are so many amenities. I saw Dan. I got a couple of pictures from up on top of the left field wall, where it would be cool to do a show.
We're gonna need some long cords, right?
I'm not sure where the electricity would be available up there. But, I mean, you're still doing final touch-ups. As a matter of fact, Red Hobart took us on the tour and said, look, they're still working furiously, and they will be until noon tomorrow. But, it's final touch-ups. I mean, it's painting some of the railings, things like that. But, I mean, if you are a season ticket holder, you're going to notice – you're going to notice a lot of things, but I mean, even in your seating areas, if you sat down low, behind home plate or down the first or third baselines, they've taken away the rails in between the sections because that got in sight lines and things like that.
What stood out to you the most on the tour? You've been going to that stadium for a while.
Space there is. There is so much more room. I mean, Plainsman Park held, in the 4,000 range. It's well over 6,000 now. But there is so much space for fans to be able to, if they don't have a reserved seat, to be able to stand and watch the game. One of the things we learned today is, you know, there used to be reserve seats, Tiger Terrace. Now the Tiger Terrace is just about all concrete, but it is a general admission area, and now that it's reserved and general admission. And general admission can get you in to the concourse. Then there's a large concourse slash concessions slash food area down the first baseline.
Now we're talking.
Another one down the third baseline. And all of the left wall. All of the that it's all standing, because I said, you know, there were some people wondering about seating, and it's like, no seats up on left field. You can walk up, and but it's a big pavilion, sort of like at
Is it like a rail? It's sort of a standing room rail.
There's two levels of it, as a matter of fact.
Oh, that's very cool.
Two levels of it, and it is so wide that you don't even feel like, oh, I'm up really high, but you are. I mean, it's very impressive, and
that's a great use of the space.
Oh, it is.
I mean, that's
absolutely
something, and I feel like that's something that was probably pioneered at Fenway, as far as using, you know, your trying to turn something like that into an area where you can have exclusive seating, or at least include the fans in some way at the top of it. And I love that Auburn's finding a way to do that too. And you're right, we got to get the equipment and get up there somehow. Riley. We got it. We need our best people.
I mentioned it to Rhett while he was taking us on the tour. So we'll see. But a couple of things that I think fans will be very pleased with is this year there will be like you see in some football stadiums, there will be refill stations for drinks. Oh. So you'll buy a cup. And then there are three refill stations that have ice and soft drinks. So you'll be able to refill those during the game. And that will come very handy.
Yeah, you know, with the souvenir cup sales or however they're doing it, that's something. I know that was one of the things that they were really proud of when they replaced the when Mercedes-Benz was built, mm-hmm. when they replaced the Georgia Dome. And it was like the fact that you could have it, and Coca-Cola, you know, had branding
sure.
everywhere, and they will for that sort of thing. But yeah, I'm sure that'll be a welcome addition for fans, especially on the hotter days.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, but the amenities, just how well this addition blends in. You can't tell where the Plainsman Park of last year ends and the addition begins.
Now, it's
done so well.
Now, where have they moved the media? Because Brian mentioned something
about
that.
Media has moved. The media is now, and there are more seats available to the media. There are a limited number inside behind the glass at the. As you look at the structure,
like zoo animals.
I don't know that anybody's going to be able to see them.
Are they on display?
No, but I mean, at the structure that's been added that goes all the way down the right field line, at the far end of that, toward the right field foul pole, at the very end of that, that's where the media is. So you're a good distance. You're probably 300 feet from home plate down the first base line, and there are some seats inside where George Nunley and the scorekeepers and folks will be, and there are half dozen seats maybe inside, and then there are a couple of rows available outside, which are really cool. And our buddy, you know, Jason and Brian were both like, "Can we sit out here?" Because if you're inside, you know, you sort of lose that feel, sort of like we do at football, that you're really at a game. You can't, you know, you can't quite get that atmosphere, but. As Brian noted and was wondering about, there's no net in front. So those screamers that are they going to be fair or foul down the first baseline? Or could really land right there in the media seating.
Interesting. Okay, so you're going to need maybe bring a glove.
Jason said he's bringing a glove every game, and Brian said Somebody's going to have to let him know.
Glove or a helmet?
Or both
potentially. Yeah. Can't wait. Love that it's baseball season. Love that it's feeling more like baseball season.
Today was a perfect day to get that tour and just hope the weather cooperates. Looks like tomorrow will be fine. Yep. Sunday afternoon the sun will be shining, but it's probably going to be in the 40s.
Can't wait to get your report back because you're going to try to check out some of the action.
Oh, absolutely.
This week, and you'll be there tomorrow night.
We're going for Valentine's. For Valentine's tomorrow.
We'll get the recap of how the new pitching staff looks. Right, three.
That is right. Butch Thompson really excited about his guys, and he said, "Look, in the past, it's been when you'd ask him a question, the numbers that would come out would be 92, 93, 95, whatever. This year, the numbers are percentage of strikes. That's what it's all been about." And his three starters are the three best guys at filling the strike zone. And the more pitches you throw and the more walks you give up, the tougher it is on your defense. It ends up hurting you, period.
Butch is anti-nibbling, right?
Absolutely.
Unless you've earned, if the referees are going to, the umpires are going to, if they're going to pay you superstar respect, maybe you can live on the edges a little bit more, but he wants guys willing to test the strike zone with their stuff. Three starters this weekend who were not even on the roster last year.
I asked him about that, and he said, "Look, they're the three guys that won it. Cade Fisher, transfer left-handed pitcher from Florida, is the opening night starter. He said he's been close to 70% of throwing strikes. Sam Dutton, big right-hander, transfer from LSU, will start Saturday. And then a true freshman, Christian Chatterton, is going to get the start on Sunday."
It speaks, though, to how disappointing last season ultimately was,
yes,
right? Where it's like, if this time last year, it's like, "Hey, Bill,
a College World Series appearance and had quite a few players back off that College World Series team.
If I'd said, hey, Bill, I just got a glimpse of the future, and the 2025 Auburn baseball team opening weekend, the three starters are going to be guys who aren't on the team."
I would have been pretty surprised.
It's also a sign you're probably not going to have much of a year, right? It's like, if there's that kind of turnover.
Well,
I mean, I know that things can.
You mean last year? Because I think the expectations are pretty high for this year because Auburn's signing class and they got every one of them got in, and their transfer portal class, both are ranked top five nationally.
No, I think it speaks to how disappointing last season was that you're reshuffling the deck with the pitching staff, and these guys could end up coming through for Butch. I mean, it's also the era of college baseball. I think a lot of teams, especially at pitcher, are going with guys that they went out and added to the team in the offseason. I mean, so you can it's a luxury to have really good pitchers.
Everybody's always looking for the next Paul Skeens.
Exactly. So I mean, so there's some of that at play too, and maybe Auburn has found one. We'll see. I think it's got to be, especially for a guy who's always prioritized development like Butch. Mm-hmm. It's probably bittersweet that he's got to go and just like practically every coach in college baseball,
right,
shop at the top of the veteran pitching market every offseason.
But Butch seems, I mean, he is chomping at the bit, ready to go. So yeah, we'll talk.
And he really likes. And you know what? Maybe it's not because they didn't enjoy the kind of success the basketball team did, but retaining Ike Irish
and getting Cooper McMurray back, and then Cade Ballou, who was such a strong freshman last year for the Auburn High product. Man, that gives you three really strong left-handed bats in the middle of the heart of your lineup.
We really wondered about – I know I conjured him. We really wondered about, like, what Ike Irish could mean, if Ike Irish had decided that he really wanted to test the market – after last season.
He was asked about that today.
Yeah.
I think Brian asked him that, and he said, "Look, Auburn's where I want to be. Auburn's where it's where I belong and where I want to be." Yes, he had offers. He had offers
sure.
from multiple places to play for them.
Because I understand, like, it's more and more every season. It feels like it's more business, you know what I mean, for these guys. Mm-hmm. And I get that it's not going in the other direction anytime soon. But there's something really old school and special and commendable about, I think about maybe Jarquez Hunter as another example of this, right? As a guy who absolutely could have tested the water and he could have prioritized both winning and money. He could have prioritized those two things in the market and decided to move on from Auburn to go somewhere else, or at least more a team, not prioritized, but a team that was projected to win more. You know what I mean? Like he could have gone out there and gone with a team that was expected to be a preseason top 10 team. If that wasn't where Auburn was,
right? Instead, he opted to come back and to try to reverse last year's fortunes. You know, he pointed out, and he and Parker Carlson, two of Auburn's five team captains, were there today. Cooper McMurray also one of the team captains, but they were there today, and I asked them about, you know, last year, and that's one of the things Ike said was, you know, last year they learned what they didn't, you know, they hadn't, a lot of them had never experienced a situation like last year, a losing season, and they're even more determined that they're going to be the leaders of this year's team. All right, want to let you know we have a shortened edition of The Drive today because Auburn women's basketball is in Knoxville taking on Tennessee, and that's a 5:30 start. So that means they will go on the air at 5:15. So we will be leaving the air. We're just going to give you an hour. We've got an hour today. We're going to open up the phone lines. We'd love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about, Auburn, Alabama basketball, obviously, is the top. I mean, it was the top story this morning. I was on with Ben Taylor, and at that time, it was the top story on ESPN.
We're going to try Ferguson at some point this hour. Justin is with the players. And,
yeah, they're practicing right now.
Yeah, but we're gonna see if we can get a phone hit from Justin here in hour number one. No Pascal, obviously.
Now David Pascal will join us tomorrow.
Yeah, looking forward to talking with Pascal tomorrow. Big basketball game, Bill. I mean, one of the biggest.
It is the biggest ever in the SEC, the biggest ever for, I mean, Auburn and Alabama have played in the Final Four each. And so I don't know that I would say this is bigger than that.
That's a postseason, though, you know what I mean?
But as far as the regular season, this is the biggest regular season game ever for both Auburn and Alabama.
I'm curious to know how many times in school history Auburn has beaten a top five AP team on the road, let alone number one. And I wonder if this would be the biggest.
Not very many, yeah. I can assure you.
I mean, this would be the biggest road win in program history, maybe the biggest win. I mean, when you think about Alabama being the number one
absolutely.
Team.
Absolutely, and on the road.
And doing it on the road.
That combination, I'm sure it would be
the biggest
regular season win ever.
And I wasn't here on Wednesday, so we can talk a little bit about the Vanderbilt game too, and how Auburn held on to held off Vanderbilt there in the second half after a perfect start to the game.
Well, you know, Vanderbilt fights back. To come back after Vandy eventually even took a 3-point lead. So we'll do that and more. Again, we'd love for you to join in, though. We'll open up the phone lines 334-321-1390 and the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. So come on in and join us here on the Thursday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Hey, everybody, this is
27502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Thursday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Love for you to join in. Yeah, we'll see if we can check in with Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer here in just a little while, but love to hear from you as we get ready for there's no way to give it enough hype. I mean, the biggest ball game for either program, Auburn or Alabama, in their history in the regular season.
Well, one of the biggest regular season SEC games ever, right? There's never
the
been.
There's never been a one versus two.
There have been one versus twos involving SEC teams. Kentucky's played in one. Bruce, in fact, coached in one with Tennessee in 2008 against Memphis, which his Tennessee Volunteers won.
On the road.
But I think it was like, wasn't it like a wacky, wasn't it in the pyramid? Or in the NBA
story?
Oh, no, you're right. Memphis plays in that. No, that's that. You're right. It was a road game. So it's I know Bruce talked about playing in an NBA arena, but that's where Memphis plays
their games. He was asked about that today and said, you know, it's not the same thing. But he at least does have experience of going on the road and beating the number one team. And of course, whoever wins is going to beat the number one team because Auburn's won an AP and Alabama's number one in the coaches' poll.
No, I thought that the the win against Vanderbilt, the start was so impressive. Denver Jones shaking off
Denver Jones
a rough
early,
Florida game, and then Chaney Johnson
late.
And I mean, and there are secrets in the box score too. I mean, Miles Kelly had a very quiet game offensively, but had a huge game in the plus minus because he was on the ball defending so much and doing some of the other things. Janai, had another
rough night percentage wise shooting, but I mean, he's still. I mean, he
still gets his.
He got half of his rebounds off of his own shots.
And they did a good job keeping some of the Vanderbilt bigs from having big nights too. Mm-hmm. Vanderbilt doesn't shoot the 3-pointer all that great, but they've got players who have had big nights in their careers
right.
from
they
the
only
3-point
hit
line.
Three in the game.
They only hit three, and that's going to be that's going to be one of the spots where I mean I think Alabama, if you know where's this game won on Saturday. The Alabama offense, even though they do attack the rim more than people realize with their collect, you know, with Stevenson, with Nelson, with the big fella, but it's going to be at the 3-point line. Like this is, I mean, they hit 17 threes against Texas earlier this week. Florida, you know, Auburn's undoing was at the 3-point line in that game against
Auburn,
the Gators.
Auburn has to close it out and contest the Alabama threes much better than they did against Florida. Something that was not asked because he doesn't really want to talk about it. We don't know, you know, how much better CBM Chad Becker-Mazar is going to be. He's critical for Auburn's 3-point defense.
What do you make of the Chad situation? Because I thought that the two times in the last week and a half when Bruce Pearl talked about the need for intensity and focus to step up defensively, I wondered if there were specific players he was sort of sending a message to when he was talking about that. Then they make the decision to start Chris Moore against Vanderbilt. They still play Chad nearly 29 minutes.
Yeah, 28 minutes.
I think the entire second half, right?
Yeah.
But it's a very quiet offensive game.
Well, he didn't score. He didn't score, and he's only hit two field goals in the last two games combined.
I would say there's probably a couple things at play.
But Auburn really needs Chad, you know, getting after it defensively because he creates turnovers, he alters shots.
The wear and tear thing, though, is very odd to me because he ended up playing nearly 30 minutes, right?
Bruce was acting like he's banged up more than you know. It's not just tired that he's hurting in some places that he didn't really want to talk about.
Oh, I think there were two. I think there were two moments in the Florida game where Chad. There's a fall early where Chad takes a while to get up and he's moving gingerly. He's like he's looking to shake it off. He like seems shaken from the fall. And then later in the game, there's the moment when he gets the Dylan elbow to the head that gets him pretty. I mean, it's a pretty straight shot from totally inadvertent, obviously
from a
teammate. But it's a Dylan. I'm not trying to start that conspiracy.
Same sort of thing that happened to Chris the game before.
And speaking of Chris, you know, I think there's a couple things at play. I think that maybe there's a message. Maybe there's a message being sent. Maybe there's just because the idea that it's you pulled him out of the starting lineup for injury-related reasons, but still started him 28, 29 minutes is a little odd, right?
I mean,
if it's an injury thing.
I still think Chris at 75%, Chad, that is, at 75% may be better than anything else that Bruce felt he could put out there.
I think there's something we talked about earlier in the week, though, which is that I think Bruce knows he probably cannot have a seven-man rotation and ask his team to play the way he wants them to play and beat great teams.
No, now to play as hard as he wants that team to play for 40 minutes. And I'll tell you one thing that Bruce brought up multiple times today is Alabama's depth. You know, people all year have been talking, and how deep Auburn is. Well, they were playing 9 or 10 guys. Auburn's basically been playing 7. Alabama is playing 9 or 10 players right now.
And Alabama also absorbed the injuries of Reitzel and Houston Millett,
yeah.
Right? Which are guys who would have been in the rotation playing serious minutes. They've needed Aiden and Filon to step up even more than they have because they're not getting the production they expected. And Auburn, I think the credit to Auburn's depth, Bill, is that Auburn has been able to absorb J.P. Pegues not working out. Like the fact that the, mm-hmm. they went and got J.P. Pegues in the offseason and it didn't really work out, and they've still been able to...
Right, but it shrunk that depth to, that you thought you were going to have. And then Jakai Howard,
yeah. You
know, obviously still in the doghouse,
well, these
has
are your
shrunk
other,
it even more.
And those are your options, you know, coming out of the Florida game. Because Turtle Hudson can soften the blow at the post. Mm-hmm. But and you're not going to play Chaney more at the three. I don't think that's the, you know, like playing two posts.
No, Chaney needs to be the four.
Exactly. And so if you're looking for ways to like, because if the problem is that the rotation isn't big enough and there are too many minutes, too many high leverage minutes, especially. But Chad, Denver, and Miles are having to play too many minutes, and you need to lighten their workload with another play. And you can lump Tahad in there too.
Well, I mean, yeah, because with Tahad, I mean, those four guys are
three positions.
Are your three positions?
Yeah.
I mean, that's you can't afford to not have, you know, those guys on the court.
You need some
nobody else you feel is good about.
But you'd love for somebody to be able to steal 10, 15 minutes of a fifth guy.
Mm-hmm.
And of the options we just listed of Chris, Jakai and JP, the one who's in the best position right now to get those minutes is Chris. And I think that the best way to utilize him in that situation is probably with the starting lineup, so that the relative lack of scoring you get from going from Miles to Chris or from Chad to Chris.
But that means you start the game with Chris and Dylan, who aren't big scoring threats.
Yeah,
and that's
something we've talked about, that one of the, I think part of the magic of this team is being able to have four or five shooters mm-hmm. out there
once. At least three shooters outside if Janai is, if the ball goes into Janai.
And defenses can't crowd Janai as effectively if you have those options out there. If you're playing Dylan and Chris, it's fair to wonder about that. Although Chris did score the opening basket of the game,
he did.
I mean,
basket of each half.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact.
I don't want to go barking up this tree, man. You know, I'm a fan. So I mean, it's the JYD. You know, he's somebody who, when you count him out, that's when he bites. But it's like, I think that's a fair point. But you do sort of wonder where that answer comes from. And I get that was the other. I thought that was the other maybe strategic part of reinserting Chris back into the starting lineup is that
Chad still didn't look himself the other day.
No, and that's a concern because mm-hmm. the seven-man rotation without Chris probably cannot absorb an injury.
No,
right now, you're
no,
asking.
You're right.
at. You're at. You know, if you pull
and
one
you,
of those
well,
seven
you've
guys
got a couple
out of the
guys that you know aren't 100%. Janai with a shoulder and an ankle, and Chad with
and,
whatever.
And you're talking about a lot of tread on the tires.
Yes, you are.
You're talking about a lot of guys who have played a lot of minutes in college basketball, and you know it's something that I remember talking with Jason about this years ago when you were starting to give extra years of eligibility to players for COVID. It was when players get to the tail end of this, you'll be talking about guys who have played more games and more minutes than anyone ever in the modern era of the sport, and we don't know how bodies are going to respond to that. And Auburn's not the only team worried about that.
Auburn is the eighth oldest team in the country, which is, I mean, that they've got guys that played a lot of minutes, but there are teams, you look around at all the experience, especially in this league.
Yeah, Kentucky's got fifth-year seniors all over the starting mm-hmm. lineup. Vanderbilt's incredibly experienced. I mean, Alabama has more. I mean, even though
Alabama's got more underclassmen.
They got more underclassmen, but they got some guys that have played a lot of college basketball too. And it's like, I think that's a concern between
Sears, Nelson, Amori. I mean,
between now and the end of the season, I think that's a concern for anybody who bet big on veterans. And I think Auburn's part of that group. And because you're talking about Janai and Chad already being injured, I think Auburn's maybe especially concerned about that.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. We're going to see if we can check in with Justin Ferguson. So stick with us here on the Thursday Drive.
Big eating in Auburn and Opelika means Big Mike Steak.
Again to the Thursday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio. A shortened edition of the drive here this afternoon because Auburn women's basketball is getting ready to play in Knoxville against Tennessee. So we will be on just until the top of the hour right now. Dan is efforting Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. See if we can get him on. His expertise, his thoughts as Auburn getting ready to take on Alabama. We were just talking about it during the break, and you know the fact that Auburn really has dropped down to about a 7-man rotation. And you mentioned Alabama has lost a couple of players this year, but they still have 9 players averaging over 14.5 minutes per ball game, even with Latrell Reitzel out, Millett. I mean, so it's been, they are very deep. Bruce mentioned that multiple times today about how deep this Alabama team is. And they are a little different from last year. They are a better rebounding team than they were a year ago. They're not what you would consider that overly physical, but they are extremely long and athletic.
And you know what? I think it's important to distinguish too. And it's almost like we should have a different word for this. But when you talk about Alabama's depth, it's not they've got 9 guys playing 20 minutes a game each. What they've got is they've got the ability to absorb.
Well, you know what they have? They have 2 guys playing 30 minutes. They've got Mark Sears and Grant Nelson playing 30 minutes. And then they've got 7 other guys that whoever's hot or whatever, they go.
And I think the testament to Alabama's depth is the belief that you could even absorb, if something were to happen to Sears or Nelson in the short term, the rest of the team.
Yes. You saw it a few games ago when Mark Sears gets benched after being, scoreless in the first half.
That is when depth is a weapon, and Alabama, and on top of the fact that they've absorbed injuries to Reitzel and Millett. So I think it's what makes this team really dangerous, and they're not unbeatable as Ole Miss showed in Tuscaloosa earlier this year, but they've been excellent since that game ended.
They really
have.
And it's going to take
your best shot to beat them in Tuscaloosa.
It is crazy that both of these teams have lost 1 conference game. They've both been at home, and they were both beaten fairly handily at home. Alabama by Ole Miss, and Auburn, of course, by Florida. Let's get to the Drive hotline. Welcome in Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. Ferg, how's practice going?
They're still in film right now, so that ought to tell you how much prep's going into this one. But I can't imagine a bigger game. You always talk about the depth of Alabama.
It tells you how deep. Ferg, it tells you how many guys you have to scout. If they're still in film right now, it tells you how many guys for Alabama you need to scout.
How about this stat? So the other night at Vandy, Denver Jones gets to 21 points. Becomes the 6th Auburn player to have a 20-point game this season, and you think, wow, 6 guys with 20 points in a season, 20-point games in a season, that's pretty impressive. Alabama's had 7 guys do that. that's just the amount of firepower they've got there at their disposal this season.
Well, I mean, they're a team that, speaking of firepower, they're going to fire more rounds than just about anybody. That's one thing they want to do is they want to get that shot off before the shot clock hits 20, and they've done a pretty good job of getting, when they don't make the shots. They're not the highest percentage 3-point shooting team, but volume is what gets them there, and their ability to rebound as well.
Yeah, long shots, long rebounds. And I think even though Alabama lacks like a traditional, like super strong big man down low that's like what you could call a tradition. Like, they don't have a Jani Broom. They don't have a player like that. But they do have guys that are good at hunting it down. They've got length. They've got speed. And so when you take as many threes like that, you're going to have an opportunity to rebound. Like, shoot long, rebound long has always been the thing. And so even though Alabama's not elite at, like, shooting, like, hitting three-pointers, like, in terms of their percentage this season, they just fire so many up there and they get so many opportunities that they've been able to overcome it. Like, in games where Alabama hasn't not been able to shoot the ball well from deep, percentage-wise, they can still win because they're going to get more opportunities than you. Even in games where they've, you know, I thought the other night against Texas was a great example of this. In a game where they turn the ball over a lot, they still are able to do it because they can. They're just going to get so many more possessions than you. This is the fastest team in major college basketball, and it is about as modern and NBA-ish of a attack as you're going to see in college basketball. A lot of spacing, a lot of shooting, a lot of speed.
Bruce gave a ton of credit to Ira Bowman after Cheney's big game against Vanderbilt. You've talked about Burgo also, you know, also playing a role in you know, a real role in player development. What can you say about how you know, the things that led up to the big game Cheney Johnson had Tuesday night?
Yeah, I mean, I think Cheney Johnson is a really special player because he's 6'7", and he's super athletic, and he's long, and so he's got some ability where if he has a favorable matchup, he's got a lot of different ways to beat you. I think you go back, Tyler Nichols, a really good player for Vandy this season at that four spot. He's kind of a marksman more than anything else, and, I mean, Auburn just smelled blood in the water when Cheney started going and just kept feeding him. He hit turnarounds. He hit hook shots. He dunked. He hit threes. Like, he kept going and kept going, and Ira Bowman's done a really good job of continuing to develop. This is a guy that, like, you know, I always think Cheney Johnson, you could say, is, like, you know, a coach's dream because he's so athletic and he's got so much, like, just, you know, just raw talent to him in terms of just what he can do on the floor. And he's the hardest working dude on the team every single time. And so when you do that, you get that kind of mesh. It's a coaches love doing that. And yeah, Ira Bowman's done a great job of continuing to round out his game. I think Marquise Daniels, a guy who played a similar position to Cheney Johnson, has also helped him out a ton. And then on Tuesday night against Vandy, it was Mike Burgermaster just in his bag and just looking at it and saying, hey, Cheney's hot. Let's call these plays that'll get him open. And they did, and he went on a 9-0 run all by himself.
Yeah, and he had a favorable matchup, too. I mean, when he's matched up with somebody that is about the same height as he is, that's going to be a favorable matchup for him because, as you said, he is so athletic and he works so hard. And the other thing that you talk about, a coach's dream, a guy that it doesn't bother him whether he's starting or not, he still comes in there, and it's going to be the same Cheney. As far as effort and everything, you know, no matter, you know, if he's in the starting lineup or if he's getting, you know, 20 minutes or 30 minutes.
Yeah, no, he is the same guy all the way through. And, you know, he's better on offense than he is on defense. And Auburn likes to start games on defense. So they start that double big lineup with Dylan Carwell and Jani Broom out there. So, yeah, I mean, I think just a guy who has worked for everything he's gotten to this point. And it's really cool to see him continue to get kind of benefit. I'm interested to see how he does Saturday against Alabama. Alabama's interior defense has not been as great this season. They give up points in the paint. You know, as they're bigger.
Yeah, they
and
are.
And they're, you know, more physical than they have been in the past, probably. But we have seen teams get those twos and really score on them when they've had success against Bama this season. So it's going to be a really good opportunity for Cheney to help Auburn out.
And go ahead, Dan.
I was going to say, where do you feel like where are the keys for this game on Saturday? What has to break right for Auburn to pull off a win on the road against Alabama?
Well, I mean, I think Bill can tell you, just being in there with Bruce Pearl and Denver Jones and Cheney Johnson today. I mean, if you just take their quotes, I think the biggest key to this game is very obvious, is that Auburn's got to play really well on defense. They got to play hard on defense, too. You know, Bruce said he wanted his team to find its edge back on defense. He thought they did that, you know, towards the end of that game against Vandy on Tuesday night. And Cheney Johnson, I think, said it best. He said, look, we've got to be the more physical team. We got to be the more excited team to play. We weren't against Florida, and we lost because of it. So Alabama is going to throw everything at you really, really quickly on offense. And, you know, I think Auburn's offense, there's some favorable aspects of this matchup for Auburn's offense against Alabama's defense. But it may not matter if Auburn's defense doesn't bring their A game. Like Chaney Johnson said, like Denver Jones said, like, you just have to play some of your best ball in order to slow down Alabama. Defense and rebounding win championships. That's what it's going to take to win a game that could go a long way in determining if Auburn can win a championship this year.
Yeah, looking back at the last two games, Auburn can't give Alabama the kind of open looks that Florida had, and then you can't have those guys that get beaten inside and give them easy lanes to the goal the way Vandy did for a while in those games. So yeah, those that's critical. The other thing that got to be a concern is the fact that, I mean, really, Auburn's playing 7, Alabama's playing 9. The way this ball game is officiated and the way the whistles blow could be very, very important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, this is an Alabama team that loves to get to the free throw line. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously that's what one of Mark Sears' greatest attributes are. Aiden Holloway's done a better job of doing that this season for Alabama than he was at Auburn last year. And obviously Grant Nelson can be that kind of magnet as well. Auburn's got to do a good job of, you know, avoiding the fouls as much. I think the good news is if this turns into a free throw shooting contest, Bama's defense has given up a lot of free throws as well, a lot of trips to the line. So, you know, maybe it could even out that way. But, yeah, when you talk about your depth in this game, especially if Jahni Broome and Chad Baker-Mazar aren't playing at 100%, you know, health right now, you need all hands on deck and you need them to play. And I thought it was funny. Chaney said, you know, earlier today, he goes, you know, in a game like this, you know, I got to do what I do except for foul. So like he even knows how big, you know, very aware about needing to stay out of foul trouble. Look, the games he stayed out of foul trouble here in SEC play, he's gone off like the game on Tuesday night against Vandy. So it's going to be huge.
What's your sense of the circumstances around Chad going into this game? Because it does seem like Auburn's going to need him.
I think he's critical,
and it's a huge moment for him to potentially break out of a short slump.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as concerned about Chad Baker-Mazar on offense because, you know, I think Auburn's got the pieces to pick him up if he's not able to play kind of full blast offense and be the same shot maker that he has been throughout most of the season. My thing is defense, right? You know, you can't be a liability out there on the floor. You can't be somebody who's, you know, give up, you know, drives to the basket or, you know, lose guys in space and give up threes to a team like Alabama. So I thought, you know, Chad was clearly not at 100% against Vandy. But what did Chad also do? He played almost the entire second half because he stepped up his defense, especially in those final few minutes. So you got to have that for all 40 from Chad. Like as much as he gets to play on Saturday, he's got to be out there and playing really good defense. I think Auburn has the pieces and the matchup on offense that they can pick him up if he is not going to be a guy. Like, he doesn't have to score double-digit points for him to you know, have an impact in this game. It would help, for sure, but I think Auburn can pick up around him on offense. More importantly is, like, you've got to be, you know, you got to do your job on defense. You got to be a strong 1 of 5 out there on defense, because if you're not, this Alabama team will carve you up.
It is. It's going to be crazy, and it's amazing to think. Hey, this is just the first of two matchups that each very well could be. This one is the biggest game that these teams have ever played in the regular season.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of the things. Like, I don't want to rain on anybody's parade or anything like that, but I do want to like kind of remind Auburn fans coming into this game. This is huge. The stakes are high. The stage is 1 versus 2. There's so much history involved in this game. But you also got to keep in mind, it's a tough game on the road, and mm-hmm. you play this one again. Like, you know, it would be one thing if this was, hey, winner wins the championship or anything like that. Auburn wants to win. I mean, a win would be massive in terms of the race because they'd get that edge over Alabama. And
think about this. First of potentially 4 games between these two teams. Yeah. This year, we will see.
Yeah,
we'll see if the fates allow.
The more, the merrier. I mean, that would. It's hard to imagine that you'd be playing in the NCAA tournament anywhere, you know, except extremely deep.
I think both teams would tell you, we'll take as long. You know what? We'll take the fourth one, and as long, you know, whatever happens.
Oh, give me number 4. Just give me the win at number 4. You're right. You're absolutely right about that.
But you look at this game, though, for Auburn, and I think, you know, you don't want to sit here and say, like, it won't matter if you lose, because it obviously will. But look at Auburn's schedule these next three games. They get three home games after this one. Meanwhile, Alabama's about to go on mm-hmm. the most brutal stretch of their schedule. So if you lose, and it's going to be tough to win on the road in Tuscaloosa, we knew that going into the season, and that's only held up as the season's gone on. Auburn's going to have a chance to fight back. They're going to have a chance at revenge. Bama's going to have to, like, Bama's not going to be able to coast after this at all. So,
oh, no, no question.
You know, don't want to call it house money. Don't want to call it necessarily a win-win situation. But I do think, though, for Auburn, like, as big as this game is and as big of a stage this is, the good news is that you know that they got to come to Neville at the end of the season.
No question. Justin, really appreciate it. Of course, well, Dan.
AuburnObserver.com is how you can find Justin. We are up against a break. Really appreciate it, Justin.
All right. We'll be right back.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Hey, everybody, this is Jacob Goins, host of On the Line and voice of the Auburn High Types. For air that is cool and clean, vote Sensegreen Heating, Air, and Insulation. Best of Auburn Opelika 2025. Remember, that's Sensegreen for best of heating.
We're out of time here on the Thursday Drive. Don't forget Auburn women's basketball coming up in just a few minutes from Knoxville. Auburn softball still leading Clemson at 6-3 in the bottom of the sixth. And then tomorrow we're back for the full show. David Pascal will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll see if we can check in with Sonny Smith again in the 4 o'clock hour. Coach Don Dunn will be in. We'll preview Auburn baseball, Auburn basketball, and so much more. But we're out of time here on the Thursday edition. So that's going to do it for now. Don't forget Auburn women's basketball coming up next. And then at 6 o'clock over on Wings, it's Tiger Talk. We're back with you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.
Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.